Galatians chapter 6, and we're going to start at verse 7. We could start at the very beginning of the chapter and go through, but for time's sake today, we're going to look at verses 7 through 10. Would you stand with me in honor of reading God's Word? Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 through 10. As we read this, I want you to notice the theme of sowing or planting and reaping or harvesting. I want you to take note that how many times it's mentioned here. God's Word says in verse 7, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap." Boy, our world needs to hear this. Amen. "For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life." Boy, there's a change. There is a huge difference in the outcome, in the fruit, in the harvest. One reaping corruption and one reaping everlasting life. Now look at verse 9, the focus of our message this morning. "And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all." Now what was that last word? To whom? We need to be reminded, it doesn't say, therefore, as we are supposed to continue to do right and do well, let us do good to some. It's not what it says. But good to whom? All. Especially to those who are of the household of faith. Father, we're thankful for your word. Amen. Would you bless it to the nourishment of our hearts? And all God's people said, and would you be seated? Thank you. Have you noticed how many Christians there are that have given up? Do you know somebody that one time in their life was a serving, loving, caring, giving, on fire Christian, servant of God, and then later in their life, whether it was later in their young life or midlife or even older life, they just seem to have grown weary in serving God. I believe that way too many Christians have turned in their Bibles and they've called it a day. They put their Bible on the shelf, they put their prayer life on the shelf, they put their service on the shelf, and they're riding life to the end. Maybe it's because they're tired. I'm going to tell you, people get tired. Amen? People get tired. Amen? You get tired. Why can't everybody else get tired? How do you remember this one? "I am sick and tired." It's used even with our kids every day. Our spouses. Maybe they're tired. Maybe they're just too busy with the things of the world to serve God. Maybe they're discouraged and they quit serving God because they just don't see the use of it. I'm going to tell you, I believe that discouragement is a major obstacle to serving God today. I think it was back in Jesus' day, and I think it was in the Old Testament day, and I don't think that any time in between that it slowed down. Satan is working hard to discourage us. I heard about a preacher one time that when he got together with a bunch of other pastors, they were all talking about their church. You know, that's one thing we do. Well, how's your church going? And this pastor got all excited. He said, "You know, this church is dying slower than any other church I've been in." That's a sad commentary. Not many Christians, I don't think that there's very many Christians out there that would admit this, to say, "I really don't want to make spiritual progress." I don't think there's many who are there. At least that will admit it out loud. But the truth is that many, many, many Christians are living in a spiritual rut. They're not serving. They're not progressing. They're not giving. They're not drawing closer to the Lord. And here's a fact for you. If Satan can't have you, he wants you to be useless in the kingdom of God. If he can't have your heart, if he can't have your soul, if he can't say that you're on his side, he at least is going to do his best. If he can't own your soul, that he owns your time. One of Satan's greatest tools to do that is discouragement. He discourages a lot of people. It happens to many that start strong and then just kind of fade away into the woodwork. You just don't see them around much anymore. If you are not seeing the spiritual progress that you had hoped to see in your life, in your home, maybe at your church, your school or your work, your personal life, let me tell you this, let me encourage you through this. Don't listen to Satan and hang up the Christian life. Don't quit. Don't run. Don't hide. You might just be more successful than you thought. And I think that that is one of the reasons that we quit. We just say it doesn't seem to be making a difference, so we give up. And I'm going to tell you one more time, that is a discouragement of Satan himself. What is success? What's success in God's eyes? A big, huge building? Listen, we're blessed with a wonderful building here. I love our building. It may look like a warehouse on the outside, but man, it's family on the inside. Amen? Amen. Thank you, Lord. Maybe it's building a bigger church. Is it having a bigger Bible school ministry? Is it having more money in the budget? Let me ask you, did you know that when it comes to spiritual success, we are told one thing? You are told one thing, just one thing. Plant the seed. Plant the seed. I need some help this morning, and I'm going to ask, is there a child-parent duo? There's one. So, hey, Matthew, you think you could talk Mom or Dad into coming up there and helping us for just a second? Either one. I need you too, bro. You too, Matthew. Come on. Yeah, sure. Hey, I was inspired by last week's preacher. He did a pretty good job, didn't he? I love Nathan. Oh, right, yeah, right down here is fine. Right down here in front. Now, here's what I want you to do. Now, you may notice inside here is some soil. All right? You hang on to it right there. This is a seed. It's an acorn. It grows a huge tree, big oak tree. Matt, what I would like you to do is plant it for me. Plant it just like it was going to go. Go ahead and push it. I got to hear. Is that the best job you're going to do? Plant it.
Come on, son.
There you go. You did your job. What did he just do? Planted it. Dad, you're older. You're wiser. You've got more gifts. What I'd like you to do is he's done his job. We'd like to watch it grow. Would you make it grow? Try again.
Still not happening.
I'm disappointed in you, brother.
Done all that I can do.
Exactly. And that's where we're going. Thank you, Matthew. Thank you, buddy. I appreciate it. Y'all knew exactly what was going to happen when we asked him to make it grow, didn't you? I mean, didn't you? I remember the first time I planted tomatoes. I went out there the next day and thought, man, it should really be up by now. It took forever for those things to grow, and I was disappointed when they found it at the rate in which they did grow. Here's the thing. Much of the discouragement that we see in our spiritual life, when we're looking for spiritual fruit, when we're looking for spiritual growth, that discouragement comes from misunderstanding the laws of God's kingdom in reaping and sowing. I want you to understand this. You need to understand what God requires of you in spiritual work. What God requires of you. He didn't say maybe. He didn't say sometimes. But he said that we should be obedient to His Word. And I want you to understand that there's a lot of misunderstanding there, and Satan loves to exploit our misunderstandings. And sometimes we don't understand the seasons of growth. We're going to get to that one. Sometimes we don't understand the soil and the soil factor. Did you know that in Matthew chapter 13, Jesus taught and shared about different kinds of soil? Jesus compared His ministry, now this is the Son of God, His ministry to the sowing of seeds. Do you remember that parable? You remember that teaching? And you may remember, we're just going to go through it very quickly. I don't have time to talk about what each one of these mean, but I do want to share with you what Jesus said about why some seeds would not grow. First of all, He said that some of the seeds fell along the wayside and the birds ate them. We'll talk about that another time. Then He said that some fell on the stony ground and sprang up and then dried out and died. And then He said that some that fell among the thorns, and they sprang up, but they got choked out. The spiritual understanding of those things we'll talk about in another sermon. And then He said there's a fourth set of seeds, and He said that these fell on the good ground, and they produced 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. So what's the difference? Obviously, when we start looking at this parable, we know that the soil that Jesus talked about represents what? The hearts of men. And the seed was what? The gospel. The gospel of Jesus Christ, the Word of God. So we've got the gospel of Jesus Christ being planted in the hearts of people. But what is the central truth of this parable? What is it that can bring us so much frustration and discouragement? And that is this. 3 out of every 4 of those seeds did not produce anything. Hello? 3/4 of the seeds never produced. Here's a question for you. Was there a deficiency in the seed? Did the gospel have a problem? Is the gospel no good in those places? No, it's the inspired, inerrant Word of God. And it was planted, and the seed didn't grow. Was there something wrong with the sower? Did he just not do it right? Or because he didn't do it properly, is that why the seed didn't grow? No. The sower did his job. Was the problem with God? Did God just not care about making those seeds grow? No, not the problem. Listen, the problem was in the soil. If we don't learn this lesson, we're going to be easily discouraged. Because I'm going to tell you, you say, well, I'll just quit inviting old so-and-so to church because I've invited him 100 times and he just quit going. He just won't come. He hasn't come one single time. Or they came once and didn't come, didn't like things. Listen, you know what? We've got to overcome the soil factor. Sometimes the soil just does not receive the seed well. If we learn this lesson, we move on and we keep sowing. But for those who don't, they get discouraged and they blame everything under the sun for the lack of spiritual growth. They blame themselves. They blame the church. They'll blame the pastor. They'll blame the music. They'll blame the chairs. The chairs just aren't what we need. The carpet's the wrong color. People can't come to the gospel understanding of God with red carpet. We'll blame anything. We'll blame everything except what's really true. But the thing is that most often, the problem is the soil. Some receive it, and some don't. So, sometimes we misunderstand the soil factor. Now, here's the one we mentioned first a minute ago. Sometimes we misunderstand the season. We misunderstand what's going on. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9 says this, "And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart." In due season. Newsflash, people. You need to understand this, that the business of heaven does not work on your schedule or mine. The business of heaven works on God's schedule. schedule, when God works. Now listen, when Matthew planted that seed just a few moments ago, why didn't it grow when Mike gave it the whammy? Why didn't it grow? Was there a problem with the seed? I can assure you not, because I went and found it right under the oak tree right outside the church here. It was in good shape. Was the problem with the planter? Did he plant it wrong? No, we made sure he planted it right, didn't we? Was the problem with Mike? Is Mike just deficient in his ability to make seed grow? No, wasn't Mike's fault either. What was the problem, people? In due season. When the time is right, it's going to grow. It's going to grow when God has it ready to go. God may seem slow at times, amen? You pray and you pray and you pray and you pray and you don't see anything going on. And God may seem slow, but let me tell you, God is never late. God is never behind when it's the right time. Did you know that there's a plant, and it's called the, let me remember, Queen of the Andes. Anybody ever heard of that plant? Queen of the Andes. Strange plant. It's slower to grow than the century plant around here that we've got, some in Texas. But the Queen of the Andes is a plant that takes up to 80 years to bloom. And then when it does, it dies. 80 years. Now listen, there's a lot of reason that that plant will never get to bloom. Because somebody will plant it not knowing what it is, and then they'll dig it up because, man, that thing has never bloomed. Or it may never get planted because they know exactly what it is, and somebody says, 80 years? Well, I'm 62 years old. I'll never get to see it bloom. I'm not going through the trouble to plant that thing and water it and cultivate it. And then somebody 80 years from now gets to see it bloom and I don't get to see it. Maybe it's discarded because nobody wants to take the time and they don't know when it's going to happen. Maybe it's just discarded because it never has bloomed and they gave up on it. And I'm going to tell you, I think that sometimes we think, man, if I'm never going to see it, I'm not going to worry with it. Folks, here's the thing. If you plant it, you leave it planted, you nurture it along, God's going to grow it in its right time. If we will be faithful to plant, if we will be faithful to water the seed, the season will come. I know that there are people here that have tried for years to get a husband or a wife or a child or a mother or a father, an aunt, an uncle, a friend to come to church, to hear the Word of God. Maybe you've quit sharing your testimony with them. Listen, don't quit. Don't give up. The season will come if you will keep planting. The season will come. And you know it's not your fault if the soil rejects the seed. It is your fault if you don't plant a seed in that soil. If we will be faithful to sow, God will be faithful to grow in due season. Sometimes we misunderstand the soil factor. Sometimes we misunderstand the season. And sometimes we misunderstand success. Sometimes we give up because we don't understand what God's trying to do. Let's look back at Galatians 6:9 again. The Scripture says, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." You want me to tell you the truth? We really don't like the ministry of well-doing. We really do like the ministry of doing well. How you doing? Oh, we're doing well. Well, how are you doing? Well, not so well, but we're doing the best we can to continue to serve and help. We don't necessarily like the ministry of well-doing. In other words, doing what's right. Being faithful to do what God calls us to do. We much prefer the ministry, if you will, of doing well. Doing well in our jobs, doing well in our church, doing well in our family, doing well in whatever it is that we are putting our time and effort into, and yet, folks, that's not what God said He's going to bless. He didn't necessarily say that we would be doing well, but he did say that he would bless well doing. Let me ask you, do you really think that God is impressed with your accomplishments? Do you think that God is impressed with your possessions? Let me ask you, what is God impressed with? Time and again, we've talked about this here. God says, if you love me, you're going to what? You're going to be obedient. I'll tell you what God's impressed with. God is impressed with obedience. When he says plant, we plant. When he says sow, we sow. When he says water, we water. When he says cultivate, we cultivate. When he says do this, share, preach, teach, don't give up. That's when God is impressed with us, when we do what he says to do. We are in the ministry of well-doing, even if we're not doing very well. And I'm going to tell you, not very many of God's servants did well. If you want to go back and look in here, there's a few of them. There's a few of them that seem to be doing well. Abraham was doing pretty good when God called him to move away. You remember one guy? He had a lot going on in his life, and he was given a lot by God. And then he went through some hardships. Things just kept going awry for him. God continued to listen. But you know, other than just a few examples, you got to remember that there's not very many people listed in the Bible that actually were doing well. But you know this? Their well-doing is recorded here forever and forever and forever. They didn't give up. There are people in the background of every successful venture. A church that is successful, winning people for Christ. A school that's training pastors and others to grow in Him. And there are people in the backgrounds of those type of ventures that are never seen or seldom seen. And they get very little or no glory for the work that they do for the kingdom of God. And I'm going to tell you, they may not have much to keep or to give, but what they do have, they keep using for God. And they use it for God every day. They're not wealthy. They're not famous. And bless their struggling hearts, they are not doing very well. But praise God, they're in the ministry of well-doing, and they don't give up. That's where we're supposed to be. We all celebrate the doing well. But dear friends, we need to be celebrating the well-doing. And today, you might be right there. You might be at the place where you're just not doing very well. But friend, what I pray is that under God and with God's help, as we were talking about earlier, the Holy Spirit doing it through you, I pray that you are in the ministry of well-doing and that you don't quit, you don't stop. If you have a lost person in your family, and most all of us do, if you know a lost person in your neighborhood, if you know a lost person at work, wherever they are, I want you to remember this. It is not your job to make them confess Christ as Lord and Savior. It's not your job. If you could make them do it, they will reject him tomorrow if you can make them do it. It's coercion. But dear friends, your job is not to make them, but your job is to plant the seed. There's an old adage. It goes like this. It says, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't. But somebody else said, ah, that may be true. You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink, but you can sure put a lot of salt in his oats and make him want to. Friend, that's what we're supposed to be, the salt, the light, planting the seeds of Christ Jesus in the hearts of people around us. Just plant the seed. Water it, cultivate it, encourage it, and the rest's up to God. You can't do it. Oh, listen, if it could be done by somebody else, every one of you would be missionaries. I know because I've wanted it for you. You might be a missionary to Africa, and you might be a missionary all the way down to out to Navasota. Sodom and Gehuston. If it was just up to the prayer and if it was just up to the pastor, everybody would be a missionary somewhere. But friends, all you can do is plant the seed and water it. The rest is up to God. Now let me tell you about the death blow to personal service. The death blow to your personal service. What is it that makes more people stop? What is it that kills more ministry? We look at Galatians chapter 6, verse 9 one more time. It says, "And let us not grow weary in well-doing," or while doing good, "for in due season we shall reap," we've covered those, "we shall reap if we do not lose heart." Now the King James says it this way, "For in due season we shall reap if we do not faint." Now whether it says faint or whether it says lose heart, do you know what it means? It means quit. Let me just reread it. This is what it means for us today. "And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we don't quit." If we don't quit. Now this is a word picture, and I love this. This is probably one of the coolest word pictures that I've found in God's Word. This word picture pictures a hunter who has gone out to get game for his family, to feed his family. And he has his bow. And he has his arrow. And as it's breaking day, he's behind the tree or in the tree, and he's got the arrow knocked. And he's got the bow in his hand. And man, he's ready. And at every little pop that he hears behind him, he half draws that bow. And as the deer is coming, he picks his spot. And when the deer is behind the cover, man, he pulls that bow back and he gets ready. And maybe he gets a shot and maybe he doesn't. But after a while, he gets tired. No game comes by. And he wears out and he's standing. And he's hunting. And after a while, he gets so tired, he's got to sit down. I mean, we've all gotten there, amen? There comes a time that you need to rest. That's not quitting. That's resting. But when he gets to that point that he says, "I'll never see anything. Nothing's ever coming by. I'm a terrible hunter. I just can't make it work." And he puts down the arrow and he unstrings his bow, throws it on his back. Folks, when he unstrings the bow, he's lost. Because even if a deer came by then, what's he going to do? Throw the bow at him? But that's exactly what we do. That's exactly what Satan wants us to do. We all grow tired. We all need rest when we grow weary. But folks, what we don't need to do is give up and quit, to unstring the bow in serving God. All of us need rest. All of us need time to recoup. But dear friend, when you quit serving God and you say, "I'm done," when you unstring your bow in service to God, you have put the nail in the coffin of your service. You may be tired. Listen, I understand. You may get tired. You might get discouraged. You might be so weary that you just say, "God, just bring me home. I'm done." But let me tell you, as long as you're here, you know what you're supposed to be doing? You're supposed to be planting for God. You're supposed to be planting the seeds for the Lord. Don't quit serving God. That's exactly what Satan wants. Everybody needs time to rest. But friend, take your rest. But don't unstring your bow. You cannot reap if you don't sow. Let me just say it this way. You cannot bring in a harvest if you quit. If you stop. And I'm going to tell you this, that I believe that many a once faithful Christian have become weary of God's work Because they misinterpreted the fact that they plant no matter what that soil does, that they are to plant. I think that they misinterpret sometimes the season. They wanted to see it right then when somebody said, oh, make it grow. You can't make it grow. Only God can make it grow. You plant. They become discouraged and they said, well, I'm no good at this. I'm just going to quit. And they literally unstring their spiritual bow and they quit trying. They've unstrung their bow. Because of age, listen, it happens. As we get older, we get tired. We think, well, I've done my service. Let me tell you, you tell that to God when you stand before Him. Maybe it's mileage. You know, I'm not that old, but man, I'm a high mileage vehicle. Somebody said one time, I love it, they said, you know what? I may have a lot of mileage on this old body, but I would rather wear out than rust out. Amen? Sometimes it's just because we're weary and we need to rest. And we make bad decisions when we're tired and hungry. Don't we, wife? You just leave that where it belongs, in your pocket. When I said we, what I meant was I. You may indeed have troubles, and you may indeed have hardships. You go back and read James chapter 1 about what it says about enduring your hardships as a good servant of the Lord. You may think that your labor is in vain, that it does absolutely no good. Nothing's blooming around you. Nothing's growing around you. But don't yield. Listen. Don't yield to Satan's deceit. Soil factor. Season factor. And the tired factor can all lead us to give up. Listen, it's not your job. Listen to me. It's not your job to make the crop grow. It's just your job to plant the seed. Listen to Romans chapter 10. It's a great way to finish this message up. Romans 10:13 says, for whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Do you believe that? When the Scripture says, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord, and of course the previous verses describe what that means, that they've got to believe in their heart, they've got to confess with the mouth. So it's not just saying you believe up here, it is literally trusting God here. But for whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And verse 14 says this, but how then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And who shall they believe in Him? How shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel. You may not think you've got pretty feet, but if you're preaching the gospel, God's word says you do. You know what that means, don't you? It means that they are blessed as they carry the gospel of Christ. Friend, keep sharing God's truth. Don't quit. How shall they hear if nobody will tell them? You may not be doing very well. Amen? You may not be doing very well. Not in the world's estimation. Maybe not even in your own estimation. But don't give up the ministry of well-doing, because that's what God will bless. Don't unstring your bow. Don't stop. We have to go down sometimes into the valley of hardships. That's where things grow the fastest, amen? Up on that mountaintop, there's not quite as much soil. There's not as much rain. There's a whole lot more wind and difficulty. But no matter what, keep sharing the gospel with the lost. You can't live every day on Hallelujah Mountain, amen? And sometimes it's just tough. Oh, man, it'd be great to camp out there. But most of the time, we're in the valley. Folks, that's the most fertile place in the world because that's where people need to hear the truth of the God who loves us so much. God will provide you with the strength, if you'll ask Him, to keep up the ministry of well-doing, even if you're not doing very well. Would you pray with me? Father, it's so easy for us to get distracted. It's so easy to look at the rest of the world and wonder, why do they seem to be so blessed? Why do they have it so easy? Why do they have so much when I'm seeking with all my heart to do right by You, Lord, and I'm struggling? God, remind us that as we serve You, we become a target for the enemy of Your word. God, help us not to give up. God, help us not to quit. Help us not to unstring the bow that would send the arrows of truth to the people of this world who need it so badly. And God, when we get discouraged because we don't see the bloom, we don't see the growth, remind us, Father, that it might be the soil. And it might not be the season. But help us, Father, not to give up. We look forward to the day when You say, "Well done, good and faithful servant."